Okay, it says 9:15 now, so I guess we are happening. Okay, so we are in week 4. And we spent the first week some basic introduction to using cloud system administration, with the basic commands for starting instances and networks and routers and security groups and these things. Then we did a week of provisioning and orchestration, how we can create, describe our infrastructure with the heat and treat our entire infrastructure as one unit which we can start and which we can stop and which we can delete. Then we have now 4 weeks of learning Puppet and how you use Puppet in a professional context. And I'm trying to teach you this sort of in the same way as Puppet works, by instead doing a whole bunch of small exercises step by step. We're jumping a little bit ahead. What do we need to know how to do? And then if that's too difficult for you, then I hope you ask me. And then I'll give you some more exercises to get you there. But we sort of, Puppet is a declarative language. We state the goals. And this is what I've done with the exercises. I've sort of jumped these difficult exercises on you. And then we'll take it from there. So last week, the goal was to introduce the language of Puppet. And so you know that we have, as I mentioned to you before, we have these. We have files, we have users, we have cron jobs, etc. We have these different kind of things on computers which we manage. If this is on Windows, you have registry entries, etc. Services, all these things. So what Puppet does is creates an abstraction of this. It's a language for dealing with all these components that we administrate. So these are sort of the what we would think of as the physical things, even though they are abstract things, these also. So this is what exists on different platforms with different interfaces. And then Puppet creates an interface for this called resources. And this is mostly what you learned about last week. And if we're going to use native Puppet resources, I'm saying native Puppet resources because there exists a set of resources that Puppet has. But you can expand that set. And you will see that when you install modules, you get more resources available. And you can declare your own resources as well. Or you can define your own resource types as well. Yes, so I should be correct and say these are Puppet create resource types. When you declare resource types, then you have your resources. So this is the, when you're wondering about the basic Puppet resources, you go to the Puppet type reference. So if I'm going to create a file or do something with a file, I go to the type reference and I hit file and I see that I can declare a file and I can give all these parameters to a file. So if we're going to specify that a certain file should have certain access rights, I would say file, and then the path to the file, which I can specify the path to the file just here, and specify the mode of the file. Because, you see, in this reference, there is a special, one special attribute, which is called the name var. And the name var, that means if you don't specify the path here, the path is taken from the name of the resource. Do you understand that? So I can say path is slash etc slash passvd. But if I say etc passvd here also, that is redundant. So this is necessary. We have to specify the path, but if it doesn't exist, it will be taken from the resource name. So that's why this is specified as the name var. So this is a basic Puppet resource type. So the ones that are listed here, these are the native types, and this can be, as I mentioned, extended. But we want to work higher level. We want to work with modules. And that's the goal for this week, to be familiar with modules, how we use them, and if we're going to use modules properly, trust me, you want to learn how to write them first. Because if you write the module, then you understand the logics of it, then you know how to reuse everyone else's module. So, and why do you have to write a module? Because normally you won't write a lot of modules, you will just use them. So why do we have to write them? Because you will see, unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of really bad modules out there. You find a module that solves your task, you try to use it, and you see that it has errors, it doesn't do everything you expect it to, and you have to do a bunch of small hacks to make it work. And usually you do this while you're waiting for a better version of that module. So the goal is find the most widely used accepted modules and cross your fingers that they do everything you want them to do so you can just do the API. Many times you do that and you have to do a little bit of work to make it work correctly in your setting. But reusing modules is the way to go. But trust me, you have to write a module first to give you the power to really reuse modules. So this is Puppet. Then comes, how do you use Puppet in the right manner? And this week we are still just using Puppet as a sort of local programming language. We're just going to write a manifest and apply it. Next week, we're going to use it in the real context as an agent master setup, meaning we're going to use it to automatically control other computers using sort of the client-server fashion. When we do that, the most easiest thing to do is to just have one single file control everything. And you put all your code into one single file. That's why you will see that several times there is a mention of a file called site.pp. So you can just say that all hosts that are called something with storage should have this Puppet manifests applied to them. And then all hosts named something like directory should have this configuration applied to them, and put everything in a single file. That does not scale. So that's why through years of using Puppet, people have generally ended up that we recommend the roles and profiles pattern. So next week, when I ask you to do this, I immediately ask you to create something called a profile, which is a grouping of modules. And then finally, to make this really easy, you group profiles into roles, and you give each server a single role. This is the nice setup that scales and is considered best practice. And the thing you do, so this is next week, and the final piece of the puzzle is in 2 weeks. The important thing is that modules you install and you use, you never change. Don't start downloading a module, making changes in that module. If you're going to do that, then you fork the module and create your own version of it and maintain it in the same way you would if you find an existing open source project that you want to continue code on. You would fork that and continue code on that. So when you download and install a module, think of it that it has a clean API, it's a self-contained unit, you just want to use it. So at the profile level, this is where you separate code from data. This is where you put all your site-specific data. And best practice says that we should separate code and data in a clean manner. That's why we're going to use something called Hiera next week for storing all our site-specific data. So this is the picture. This is where we are heading. We are now in the second week here with modules. Yes. So the exercises for this week. So as I said, the goal of last week was just make sure that you have sufficient time to read and study the language of Puppet, so you know basic Puppet and the resources and how this works. And in addition, the quest guide also introduced you to the use of modules and jumped quite quickly through almost everything you need to know about Puppet. But we don't feel comfortable before we practice it ourselves. So, first exercise, create a new heat stack. But you can just you can do this, or you just need access to an Ubuntu instance. So you can reuse your heat stack from 2 weeks ago or whatever, as long as you have access to an Ubuntu instance. So let me do that. Log into the Access VM. And then I reconnect to my screen session. Remember that if I lost connection by accident or something, this will say that you are already connected to a screen session. Then I would solve that by saying DR, detach, reattach. I can do this all the time because, yeah. So that reattaches me to my screen session, and here I'm logged in to a server. And we can do just apt-get install Puppet, but this will give us Puppet version 3.4.3, I think. And we need a newer version. We're going to use some features of Puppet that appeared in version 3.5 and onwards. So what we usually do is to make sure we use Puppet from Puppet Labs. So we should do this command here. Downloading this Debian package. And if you have downloaded a package, you can't install it with apt-get. Then you do dpkg minus e, like this. Yes. And of course, now I'm working as root now. When you have done this, downloaded it, installed it, you have not installed Puppet, this is just, this package is just sort of a trick package to install the link to the repository on Puppet Labs. So if you now update your package repository and then install Puppet, you will see, okay, I did this already, and then do Puppet minus minus version, you will see that you have Puppet 3.8.2, which is the latest latest version widely used. Puppet is out in a version 4, but the language and the system and everything is pretty much the same. It's just a big difference in how you install it. Puppet version 4 has some different name for some packages, and it comes bundled with much more of the stuff it needs, less dependencies and some things like this. But it's not widely used yet, and using it for our sake doesn't make much difference. So we stick with version 3 of Puppet for now. So I've asked you to this, and then all of a sudden install the Puppet Labs NTP and SAS time zone modules, and write a manifest time.pp which declares NTP and configures time zone to be Europe Oslo. Apply the manifest with Puppet apply. And if you haven't studied and spent a lot of time reading, this probably was a bit confusing. So install modules. If we go to module fundamentals, using modules, you can easily install modules written by other users with Puppet module subcommand. See installing modules. So Puppet has a module tool which has several subcommands. So you can say Puppet module install list search uninstall. But what we do before we install modules, we want to locate them. Now I've given you the name of these modules, but what we typically do is that we go to the Puppet Forge. The Puppet Forge is a website which you see currently contains 3,509 modules. And the thing is that this is what has made Puppet such a big success, that they early in the Puppet history, they decided to create this system of modules with reusable code that people easily can share. And you see now that there are over 3,500 modules. So if I want to use a module for something, so for instance, I want to manage NTP. I can do NTP find. Then we see that I get 23 modules that I can use to manage NTP. So the thing is with NTP is, yeah, you want to install NTP, you want to configure it, you want to make sure it's running. You can do this yourself, but when you do this a couple of times, you will soon see that, well, there must be thousands of other system administrators that are doing the same thing. And that's why we use a module instead. Because it's not difficult. You could have written this yourself. You can write a manifest that installs a package, configures a file, or copies a file into place and make sure a service is running. That's quite easy. But there are always some details, which is why it's usually good to always try to reuse code in case it includes some more best practice than what we normally would include. So, which one should I choose? I can sort by latest released, most downloads, etc. But, so you see there are many here that are have thousands of downloads, and there is a great composite score. So, you know, you look at these, sometimes it's obvious. You see that there's one here that is published by Puppet Labs and is supported by Puppet Labs and is apparently downloaded quite a few more times than the rest. If I sort these by most downloaded, you will see that this is published, this is downloaded quite a large number of times. So for managing NTP, so this is always the best. When I find a module that is supported, officially released by Puppet Labs, then I can really trust it. Because it's all about trust, you know? Don't just Google, choose some code, and run it on all your servers with administrator privileges. We don't do that. We reuse code, but we want to really make sure that the code we reuse, we can trust. So, let's look at this. And this code always has a README, which tells you how you use it. I just want NTP, what's the minimum needed? Aha! So this is all you have to do. You install it, and you write a manifest that says include NTP. So, how do I install it? Aha! Use this command to install the latest compatible version. So, Puppet module install. Yeah, and it says it's already installed. Then I can say time.pp. Then it basically says that all I have to do is this here. Like this. But to make this happen, I have to put this inside a node statement. So I just have to, I normally do this, just say node default, like this. Yep. But basically one line of code. Okay, I have written some Puppet code. What should I do? I do a Puppet parser validate to see if my code validates. Yes, it does. Don't worry about this warning. This is just because the configuration file of Puppet contains a template setting, and you can template dir. Just delete that line. And then it doesn't complain. Doesn't say anything. That means my code is fine. Okay. We can try to apply it. But before we apply it, it's usually nice to test it a little bit more. To add minus minus. That was too many. No operation. Meaning, don't do it, just show me what you would do. Yes, and Yes, also this, don't get scared when you see red text. If it's just a warning, sometimes you worry about it, sometimes you don't. So it just says that Puppet is by default trying to use Hiera to find data, but I haven't configured Hiera yet, so that this is fine. So remember that, you know, check your code and test using NoOp. Another thing you should also do sometimes is you can do this apt-get install Puppet Puppet lint. What's a linter or a lint? It's for checking that your code looks nice, right? Follow standards. So does my code look okay? Yes, it doesn't produce anything output. So of course my code was just one line, but as you've seen that I've also linked to the Puppet language style guide. Remember, whenever you write code, try to follow best practice. When you're going to write Puppet code, read through this. You won't remember all of it, of course, but the Puppet lint will help you. So write code, run Puppet lint, see what it complains about. If you're wondering what it's complaining about, go read the style guide. Yeah, one of the typical things is that you want to, when you specify parameters, you should align your arrows. And if your input does not contain variables, then you should use single quotes. So these are those standards to try to have good Puppet code. And you will see that when you start using modules, that people don't follow this all the time. This is what I'm meaning. When you find a module, try to run Puppet lint on it, and you will see that there's a reason why these exist and why we try to code in the same way, because there's a lot of strange code out there. Okay, so back to my manifest, not this. So this, when I saw that this looks fine, then I can apply it like this. Puppet always takes some time because it gathers a lot of information about the host when it runs. It wants to run factor first. It does this in the background, gathering all kinds of information, and then it applies the configuration for this host. Yes, so this didn't complain or anything. Well, I've run this before on the server, so that's why this doesn't produce any useful output. So, but that's what you need to do. You write. This is writing a manifest where the skeleton is node default. And inside here, you put the code. What kind of code you say? You put the code. Where did we have that module? Here. Okay, so you go to the forge, find modules. Sometimes we just use the forge directly. You also need to be aware, not this week, but later, you'll see that either we use modules directly from the Puppet forge, or we use them from GitHub. Because most of these projects, so the most important link for you here is this here. You see, it says project URL. I visit this all the time. I see the module here and usually see that, aha, this is published July 22nd. Oh, that's fine. Then I can use it. This is very recent. But if this says like 2014 or something, maybe there's a newer version. Let's go to the project URL. And this almost always takes you to the project web page on GitHub, where you can view the code more carefully. You will see that, okay, July 22nd. Ah, so if you really want to use Bleeding Edge here, you see that there have been code commits all the way until August 27th. But the last official release was on 22nd of July. So many times you also, you will see that the text here is the same as the text on the Puppet Forge. Yes, let me also, so this is NTP. You can either, you can say include NTP like this. Or you can declare it instead of using this. You can, let's see. So now we just use it in the simplest possible way. Maybe I want to specify some parameters. So instead of just including it, I want to configure it using specific servers, because NTP synchronizes time. When NTP synchronizes time, distance to the server that it's synchronizing against is important. So because so if you're synchronizing time with a server that's physically located in Australia or New Zealand, then time doesn't become really accurate. But if you're synchronizing with a different server on the same network, the delay is really low. The latency in the network between those servers are really low, so you get much more accurate time. So maybe I want to specify here that I want to synchronize with ntp.hig.no. I think there's a server called that, isn't it? Okay, let's see. Okay, just let me check that this parses, and let me apply it now just to save time. You see what it did? I'm going to run it again. So you see that it tells me that it changed the content of the configuration file because it didn't say ntp.hig.no. It said something else, some default name server, no, some default time server. So it changed the content, and when it changes the content of the configuration file, then it has to restart the service or reload the service, so it rereads the configuration file. So you see that why it says here that NTP service class triggered a refresh. Then I run it again. But now it doesn't say anything. Why? Because it's idempotent. Remember that? Idempotent. If something is wrong, I fix it. If it's correct, I just make sure it stays correct. So this is the whole principle. We do configuration changes to try to keep the host in a stable state. So I can run Puppet again and again and again, and it will just check, is it okay? Then it should stay okay. If something is wrong, I fix it. So I didn't have to specify anything here. I could also just do this. So when you declare a class, you can either just include it, or you can use the class declaration. I showed you an example of both now. The difference is, if you want to specify parameters, like we did, say that the server should be ntp.hig.no, then you have to use the class declaration. Now it shows the default, which is a different server than ntp.hig.no, so you see it changed the content of the configuration file again. Let's just check what is the default. Yeah, so you see default is to stay with these servers here. But, okay, so if I don't specify, then these are identical, aren't they? Yes, they are, but there's one important difference, which you might run into later. I just want to mention it now, that this, if you include a class with the include statement, you can do that several times. I can say include NTP again and again and again, because, you know, I have many manifests. Some will use the same code. And if you need to reuse a module several places, make sure that it exists several places. If you use the include statement, then that's fine. You can include several places. You can use the class declaration only once. So this you will see as an error in your code if you attempt to do a class declaration multiple times. Because with class declarations, there you can specify parameters, and you can't have conflicting set of parameter specifications. So it's logical that you only can use that once. So if you're just going to include a class, usually it's more comfortable, if you're not doing any parameter specification, use include instead of an empty class declaration. Okay, that was the first part of this exercise. Next you should do is a Puppet module install SAS timezone. Find the SAS timezone module on the forge. Look at the README, and it says exactly how you should be able to use that to change the timezone to be Europe Oslo. So that you should solve yourself. I'm going to just round off by showing you that this Puppet module tool is really useful. Puppet module, you use that to install from the forge. How you manage modules that you want to use directly from GitHub, I'm going to teach that in 2 weeks. Then we're going to tie everything together in the big picture, where you combine modules from the forge, modules from GitHub, which you tie to specific branches or specific versions or tags and all these things. But we're going to do that in 2 weeks. But this Puppet module tool is really nice. I can say Puppet module. Probably I can say help like this, can't I? No, I have to say help module. you see the actions that it can do. You can say Puppet module build changes Puppet module generate, which we usually use when we're going to generate an empty module, because then it creates a lot of these nice defaults for us, including the metadata file. Install, list, search, uninstall. So you can uninstall and we can upgrade. Yeah. Puppet module list is nice, because that will list all your modules. These are the modules I have installed. And you will see that this is the same as the ones you find here. But modules have dependencies. And notice this command, module list minus minus tree. That will show me, show you and me the relationship between the modules I have installed and which depend on which, and whether there are any unmet dependencies. Sometimes this tool is right, sometimes it's wrong. So this I know what this is, and this is just a bug. Yes, so make a note of this command here as well. Okay, so then you should be able to solve this. Then the fun starts. As I said, you have to write a module to really learn how it works, how you can reuse a module. But there has been written modules for everything. So if I were to give you a sort of a challenging exercise, it's really hard to find something. So I decided that you can write a module that installs some software that I've written. Because it doesn't exist any Puppet module for some the software I've written. So I have a piece of backup software called Gusin Backup located here. And I've tried to, you can see here how you normally will install it. This is some has just a executable file and a configuration file. Which should be in this directory. There is a file for exclude patterns. You need to, this is software for doing backups. And you need to copy from source to destination and do all these things. And this actually turned out that I'm really happy with this exercise. This will teach you, I think, everything you need to know. It's not very complex, but it's complex enough that you have to reuse modules, write some own reuse what you have learned so far about some resources, etc. So this is the big thing. Write this module, then you really know how everything about Puppet works. This will probably be difficult, but it doesn't get more difficult. When you reach this level with that you can write this module, then nothing in this course becomes more difficult. And it's not that really difficult, but ask me for help if you need it. By the way, this is, you see, when you log into the Access machine, it says, please back up your data. Because I don't take any responsibility for your data. But if you do have accidents deleting something, this backup software that you're going to write a module for, you will see that I do have some backup from each day and from each hour. So you will probably be able to go into this directory and find previous versions of your data and some backup. So this is the software that's in use and installed using Puppet. But I said, please ask me as soon as you encounter a problem. Okay. I think we're out of time.